From the creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Candles burning low. Lots of mistletoe. Lots of snow and ice. Everywhere we go. Choirs singing carols right outside my door. All these things and more.
It's Tuesday, November 27, 2018, and it's the Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and here with me in our Orlando studios, our illustrious engineer on the ones and twos, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
On the Skype line from Gainesville, Florida, Big Cat Eddie Koffeltz.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Hey, did we catch you off guard there? On the Skype line from Nashville, Tennessee, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. And just down the street, author, podcaster, speaker, cowgirl, extraordinaire Annie F. Downs.
Good morning, gents. Happy Christmas.
Can I amend my welcome, Cameron?
Yes, please.
I would appreciate that. Pitch to me again real fast?
On the Skype line from Gainesville, Florida, Big Cat Eddie Koffeltz.
You know what? Happy holidays.
I am
taking the Christ
so
out of Christmas.
No,
we're full on Christmas mode now. It's not multiple I guess you can throw New Year's in there.
Yeah.
There's also Hanukkah.
Hanukkah, that's true.
Wow, Annie.
I like the idea of having Stephen's an inclusive
Day. Saint
holiday
Stephen's
greeting.
Day, December 26th.
Yeah.
There's a lot of holidays.
Happy
happening.
Last quarter of the year, everyone. Hope you're enjoying just this period of time.
Annie, you've been in Christmas mode now for, by my count, about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it still shows. Your house still looks very festive.
Thank you. I haven't added to it. I'm budgeted.
But now I'm all the way caught up. And it feels good to be here with you.
Yeah. I'm glad I was wondering. I mean, I knew the day after Thanksgiving was Eddie's day, obviously. What was your actual day, Tyler?
It's always the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. In the Huckabee Riggs household.
Yeah. Always go get a tree that day. The whole thing happens that day. Yeah, so by the time we went to bed the day after Thanksgiving, it was all done. Trees up, lights on the house.
Lights everything. On the house, too. You're working all day. You're outside.
Everything.
You're schlepping on the roof.
Right, because we got our inside team and our outside team, and then we have a floater. So evil float between the two.
Oh my gosh, an inside team and an outside team.
We got a lot happening. It's an efficient home.
A couple weeks ago, I was at the down at the mall, hanging out with my buds at the mall.
Neat. And, Green Hills Mall? Which mall?
And this was still, this was Opry Mills.
Oh.
And this was before Thanksgiving. And it was a couple days before Thanksgiving, and I was strolling through, and they have the North Pole Santa situation up already at that point.
Right.
And you can't imagine a sadder sight in the mall than a Santa just sitting there with kids walking by looking like, it's not Christmas yet. I don't know what this guy's doing.
The Santa was not respected.
Santa, don't you have a lot to do? You need to get busy, man. You can't just be sitting around waiting for these presents are going to build themselves, man. What are you doing?
But literally,
he just was sitting there alone.
Oh, well, there'd be a line now. Now,
it's fine. Yeah,
now he's, yeah.
But I assume he's still there unless he resigned, gave up just in depression.
Oh, do we get to talk to Cohen? Is he going to be a voice or can we ask him a question or no?
Well, actually, yeah, a little surprise. We're recording this on a day my son Cohen is out of school and Cohen's on the headphones. Cohen, you want to say hi on the mic right there? You want to pull that over to you?
Boy.
Yeah, it is. He's on.
I have an actual question for Cohen.
Okay.
Cohen, I need you to tell me, when is the right time to decorate for Christmas? When is it, like, what day is the right day? When is it too early? When is it too late? What's the right day to decorate for Christmas?
We did talk about this because we were at Home Depot.
A week or two after Thanksgiving.
How delayed gratification.
We were at Home Depot before Thanksgiving and he was like, why are the Christmas trees already here? I mean, he was like incredulous, you know? And I'm like, I know, buddy. I don't know. There's people like Annie in the world.
But like a week or two, Cohen? That's a long time, pal.
It's probably the day after Thanksgiving, you think? That weekend? Yeah. Yeah. We want to soak in as much as we can, but we don't want to be too early like Annie.
Yeah.
Hey, it's beautiful, Cohen. Just look at it.
Whenever time you want, that's what I say.
Whenever you want.
Whenever you want. Go as early as you want.
Like July. Just go for it.
That's fine. I've told you guys about my neighbors that leave their Christmas tree up year round. So, you know.
Yeah, okay. But that is wild. Yeah. I mean, that is
it's pretty wild.
Wait, they really do.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That is some mental illness.
You can see it through, like in their window. It's red.
It's red. So it's not like just a tree with white lights on it. It is an actual Christmas tree.
It's a festive.
Well, it's fake. Obviously, it's plastic, but.
That is wildly messed up.
Yeah, it's super weird.
When we talked about that, did I tell y'all that one time in college we kept one up for a whole year and we just changed it seasonally? We changed it to a Valentine's tree to a St. Patrick's Day tree.
I think that's kind of what they do as well.
What is a Valentine's tree has like hearts and stuff
on it?
Yeah,
hearts all over it. And we just took like pink and red and white, garlandy kind of looking stuff that we bought at Michael's or some craft store. And then,
I admire the people who like redecorate the home for every holiday season.
Yeah.
But that is not I'm appreciating our partnership with Bright Peak, and I think they have a lot of questions about somebody who budgeted.
Well, to be fair, we were like six college sophomores, and so we didn't make any wise decisions really. Eddie, you look real disturbed. I'm sorry.
Well, you're putting the budget together every month, and you're like, all right, we got. Short on grocery money again. I don't know where I'm going to pull from. We can't take them to President's Day holiday. It's coming right up. I don't know how to pull my $300 out of that.
Wouldn't it just make you feel so weird to have a tree up all around the year? Yeah. I would feel so weird in my own house.
Yeah.
Just like, there's just like, I mean, there's no punchline to this. It's just, didn't it feel so weird?
I noticed it like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been several years.
Yeah, we did it 1 year. I mean, of my 38 years on the planet, I did it once. So it clearly wasn't a feeling that I wanted to stick around. But sure. I really liked it in that 20 to 21 window. It was really kitschy and fun and cute. The fellas loved it, you guys.
There's also a dust thing. Like,
yeah.
You don't clean your tree.
You have to clean it. You just generally.
But you have to clean that tree. They have to get in there, which actually, you know they don't. Right? Yeah, but they should get in there with a little brush and vacuum deal and get it all cleaned, but that thing is just an allergy bomb.
If it's not a real tree, you can just take it outside, turn the hose on, spray her down, let her dry out overnight, and take it back in. You're good to go the next month. That's a once a week situation.
You're saying you're going to take your artificial tree outside and hose it down to clean it,
as opposed to like what Eddie's talking about. It's ridiculous. You get out the pledge and a little dust mud.
Hosing it down in the front yard is not
what's going
ridiculous.
On in your air quality in your home that you need to go hose down trees.
I'm gonna string it up like a hog. Get the hose out. Put my thumb over the nozzle and just Tyler, up and down a couple of times.
Your Nebraska is showing right now.
It's Cameron.
Chandler, you gotta every once in a while just do a walk around the perimeter of their house and make sure there's not like a shack with a ventilation thing out the top and no windows and a lock on the door. You know what I'm getting at. I don't want to say with Cohen, but
I was trying to give Eddie the nonverbal. My son's on the earphones.
Hey, there are people listening to this podcast.
And all the parents are driving in the car right now with their kids are like, Eddie, no. They're like reaching for the volume.
Christmas tree year round. Cohen, would you have a Christmas tree up in your house year round?
No,
because he's not
an animal. It's weird.
That was an easy one. That's right. Cohen is a man with principles. He understands the world as it should be, and he puts things in their right order.
That's right.
Cohen's stirring.
I like him. He's one of my friends. I like the guy.
I love Cohen.
Hey, we have a great show in store for you today. Not only does Cohen join us, but Yvonne Orji joins us. She's one of the stars of HBO's show Insecure. She's a strong Christian, and her character on the show maybe would not be in line with her belief system. And it's an interesting story, an interesting conversation that we have with her.
Kind of how I feel about being on this show.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, Annie.
We all make sacrifices. We all have to negotiate our moral principles for the dollar.
I will tell you, though, I was doing an interview the other day and asked the question that I get asked every single time anyone ever meets me, which is, how were you on the Relevant show and on The New Activist? Like, it's the same person. It's just we all have different kinds of parts of our personality, and they just are vexed that someone that seems to be so crazy on one can be a little less crazy on the other.
That's right.
That's right. Annie, thank you for making the sacrifices that you do to be on this show. We do appreciate it.
And I've gained some friends and lost some brain cells, and I'm thrilled to be here. So,
well, that's a t-shirt.
And I'm aware that Memorial Day isn't going to pay. The Memorial Day decorations aren't going to pay for themselves. So
I gained some friends and lost some brain cells,
but I'm happy to be here.
Right. College colon gained some friends, lost some brain cells. Right. I'm happy to be here. That's funny.
That's probably how I am just about everywhere.
That's really funny. Well, moving the show along, it's our Tuesday show. It's time for Slices.
Slices!
What do you have, Eddie?
Well, I have had a pretty strong rule of my many years on the show to not bring any like of those hacky kind of slices about like, oh, crazy criminal and wherever did something.
Right.
But there is an unsolved mystery happening right now, and it may end up being criminal that is... Yes. Well, it's just too perfect, and I have to bring it up so that maybe some friends can help with it.
Okay.
So, friends in Arizona, there is a mystery happening afoot that you need to be a part of.
Okay.
There is a bird rescue and rehabilitation center in Arizona, and it is called Fallen Feathers.
Oh.
Now, of course, that's not the joke, but we do need to workshop that name. But they have a bird rescue, right? And all birds need to be rescued. And so they have this little thing called Fallen Feathers.
All birds need to be rescued, huh?
Yeah.
Well, okay. From the air?
Well, I generally don't, and I'm just, this is going to be a hot take, I don't care about birds at all.
Right.
I'm neutral to the whole species.
You know how many people are surprised? None of them. None of the people are surprised that you don't care about birds.
So you don't dislike birds.
No.
It's not like a phobia thing where it's like, oh, birds terrify. They're weird. They got weird faces.
Completely neutral. Like when somebody is like, oh, look, look up in the tree. There's like a hawk. And you're like, okay, well. Neat. I guess that's a hawk in the tree. I mean, that's where hawks live. But people seem to be really into birds. And
But have you seen like the birds of prey do their thing? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, like the talons come out.
You know,
it's cool.
Attack posture. I'm very into birds, but I'm into anything in its own attack posture.
I'm not a bird guy either at all.
Right.
But I've in the last year moved to water. And I'm seeing a whole lot of bird things that I didn't ever see before. And it's really crazy and interesting. And I'm living in a National Geographic Discovery Channel thing. And it's
So generally, if the hawk is sitting on a fence post, okay. But if the hawk is like plucking a squirrel out of your backyard, well, that's worth seeing. That's really neat.
No, dude, I see birds like fly over the lake and they're like looking because it's clear water. They can see the fish, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll see them plunge down at full speed and like go like into the water and then like dive down and then grab the fish and then fly away. They come out and fly away. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah.
Seconds later, they fly out with a fish in their beak.
It's a pretty incredible thing.
And y'all can see it, Cohen? Y'all see it happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have like otters that live in front of our house and we have these huge cranes and they perch up on the dock and then the craziest ones are the birds that swim. Like the birds that, not ducks, but like birds that are like underwater. It's crazy.
Remember when ducks used to always hang out in our pool?
Ducks always, hang out.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on The Sopranos, too. You probably haven't seen that show yet, Cohen. But every time the ducks come, I have a real breakdown.
Wait, there are birds that swim. I've never heard this, and I've been on this planet a while. What?
Annie, literally, you'll just see the like.
I know ducks. Cohen, I got you on the ducks.
Other than ducks.
You'll just see like their heads like poking out of the water, and it's like birds that are down there like fishing swimming underwater and stuff. And then they come.
Hold on. I have to stop the whole show.
Yeah.
Annie, you've never seen birds that also swim?
I mean, ducks. You and Cohen are correct. I've seen a duck, but
there's like a lot of birds that are in the water.
Waterfowl. A lot of birds.
Cameron made it sound like sky birds that swim.
That's right.
There's not sky birds that swim.
Yes, they do. Birds that fly that also can swim?
Ducks. Yes. I know ducks.
That's the majority of birds.
The only bird
that's not a sky bird is a penguin.
Eagles are not swimmers.
We don't know this for certain.
Eagles would go down and grab fish with their talons.
Yeah, that doesn't make them swimmers.
Would you call fish swim fish? Or would you just call them fish?
Water fish.
Right. Well, you're not telling me a story about a fish that can fly. If you were telling me a story that there were fish that were flying, I mean, although there is a flying fish, but that would be the duck of the air. I get it. That would be the duck version of a fish.
I like the duck of the air analogy.
Right.
You're losing me a little bit. Like I'm struggling to put it all together, but
I'm just saying. Cameron, I came back for duck Cohen of the air. Implied to me that normal sky birds, like a hawk or an eagle, they will sometimes look out on their pond and only and see them swimming around like they're all friends and only their heads are poking up out of the water. I've never Annie, known a bird to do that.
You're coming down in December. I will make sure to point out in my backyard see that little head, these are birds that are swimming underwater.
These are sky birds that are swimming.
And they're coming up for air and then they go back down.
I mean, okay. Every time you say sky birds, I just realize here's what this show does to someone. And Annie, we're coming up on 1 year of you here. We're getting ready for it. But here's what this show does is every single week, there's just a little tiny peek into a different part of the brain. And so far over this year, it's been like, she knows a lot about that. Oh, interesting. She's able to navigate that situation. But apparently we just opened up a door to just an empty room and the door is just labeled knowledge of birds. And there's just, there's nothing in there, Annie.
Author, speaker, podcaster, extraordinaire, cowgirl, wannabe. Avian novice. Yeah.
Like for Annie, there was ducks and bald eagles, and those were the only two birds. And apparently there are others, and she's shocked. So
I just am surprised.
First of all, I'm not implying, I'm saying and stating directly. Second of all, you're just building your own case, and I don't want to get, but do you know as it pertains to the slice, do you know what a pigeon is? Would you call that an airbird?
A pigeon is a sky bird, not a swimming bird.
Okay.
So, Cohen, do you agree with me? Isn't a pigeon a sky bird, Cohen?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cohen is even
city on my team.
Completely
city birds. Land birds.
City birds. That's true.
They just also walking around on the ground most of the time.
Building birds.
Yeah.
Cohen's also made his way through a majority of elementary school, so he understands a lot about like the sky birds and water fish or whatever. So listen, Fallen Feathers out of Arizona gets a call. The lady who calls Fallen Feathers says, "Hey, there's a pigeon outside of my house and it's got like something on it. I need your help." Well, Fallen Feathers apparently is not full service because the advice that Fallen Feathers gives to this person that calls is, well, just trap the bird and bring it in, which let's just pause there. Would you know how to trap a pigeon?
Nope.
No idea. I don't think it'd be that hard.
Do you think it'd be, what generally would be your first step? Cohen, what were you saying? How would you trap a pigeon?
If it had something like bad on it, it would probably be pretty easy.
Bad? No,
like if it was injured?
Yeah, like with something on it.
Yes. Like if it was like weighing it down or something? It would be
Cohen,
easy.
I don't know if you've read my slice, but you've brought up the right point because this person was easily able to trap the pigeon because the pigeon apparently was adorned. So they bring this pigeon in and it turns out that someone created for it a vest. People put vests on pigeons so that they can keep them as pets.
What?
So that they act as diapers. So essentially
a couple of months ago you brought a chicken in a diaper.
Yeah.
This
vein of humor always gets me. And this is the exact
same. Google alert.
Right. Fowl plus diaper plus bird plus air bird. So sky bird or whatever she said. So
I'm still trying to remember. Like, I'm trying to think. Annie was talking about, well, I know there's fish that fly. I'm like, wait,
there's
what?
A fish. There's a flying fish. It's a thing. It's not just called an eagle fish.
They just jump out of the water. They don't like fly. They don't like flap their wings and fly away.
That's the same amount that those birds swim.
I was just calling it an eagle fish.
True.
No, those birds can stand there for a long time.
Christmas gift for me, and there's only one.
Flying fish can fly for 100 yards. They can. They like glide for. 100
so they're like the Wright brothers of the flying community.
Of the fish community, not the flying community. Airplanes.
They're the ducks
top of
the
flying
air.
Community.
Sorry, Eddie.
There is a joke there with a fish Wright brother, and I can't figure it out. But if someone can or can tweet it to us, that would be. I mean, it seems like a pun, right? This is
What do you call the Wright brothers if they were fish? I don't know. What do you call them?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's there. It's hanging in the ether. And I got to tell you, I don't care when it happens. When I get to it, I'm going to say it out loud. So I hope that you guys are just aware that if anything deep happens during the show.
Tell me about the vest on this pigeon.
So Cohen is right. There's a vest on the pigeon. So the pigeon isn't already moving fast. However, not only did the person keep the pigeon as a pet and put a vest on it so that when it went to the bathroom, it had like a little diaper, but it was a rhinestone encrusted vest. Oh my God. Somebody had taken the time.
Nashville.
Yeah, I was going to say Dolly Parton vest.
Somebody had taken the time to bedazzle a vest for a pigeon. And now, this is the criminal element, they are looking for the person. The bird sanctuary has posted a picture of the bird. The bird sanctuary clearly has a sense of humor. They posted a screenshot of the bird next to Liberace. They posted on Facebook, and they are searching to see if anyone has lost their bird because they want to talk about why on earth they have possibly bedazzled a bird's vest. That is my slice, and I will never regret bringing that today because
I have a behind the scenes question for you, Eddie, because what you may not have known in the past few months is there's been a real a slice gate kind of problem.
We've had.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me that is a perfect slice that I would have wanted to bring.
Right.
What, for real, what did you Google that got you that? Cause I want to Google that and get those slices.
I'm not going to tell you the method by which I find my slices, but it is over 5-6 years. I have a few sources. I have a few Google searches and they never fail me.
He has a Google alert for bedazzled vest and it just so happened to be on a pigeon.
That is the primary. There are a couple sources.
He's going to get his musical theater beat. He's going to get, his pigeon news, everything you need.
And I'm going to also tell you, insider tip, you've been here for a year. It's time for you to have this tip about slices. Never, when they ask what your slice is, never tell them. You just do you and you be ready to sell it. Because I had to really sell this pitch because of this slice. Because when you really step back, a lady a lady found a pigeon with a bedazzled vest and turned it in. That's the whole slice.
I was about to say, that's a real assumption that a lady made that bedazzled vest.
No, a lady found 50-50. It and turned it in. Yeah.
But Eddie, I saw this hit the news a few days ago, and the story that I saw was that the local authorities are on the hunt for the owner of the pigeon with a bedazzled vest because they have some questions.
Right.
Have they found the owner of the bedazzled?
I don't read farther than the one story I found, so I have no idea. And if you want to know, you can Google it on your own. I am not a real journalist, but
this is a manhunt. Now they are on the search for the owner of the bedazzled vest pigeon. It's a big deal.
Yeah, no. As of yesterday at 1 p.m. when this story was filed, no.
Who's the most angry here? The who's on the search? Like the police care that much about a pigeon in a vest?
That's a great question.
Yeah, well, I believe the pigeon is probably the most angry.
I think it's violating a few rules. I don't know.
Is it their law? If someone took time to bring a law about pigeons and vests to their government, I have work they can be doing.
I mean, it could be kind of, I could see there being a case being made for some sort of animal cruelty, but also I could see a case being made for just being awesome.
A waste
to
of a good vest. That's right. My argument.
There's only so many rhinestones in the world. And I think they're probably worried about the slippery slope. You know, one pigeon in a rhinestone vest. Whatever. Not a big, there's a lot of pigeons out there. But if this pigeon vest maker kind of gets the wrong idea, like cops don't care. Next thing you know, this lady walks out of her house the next morning, 20 pigeons, none of whom can fly, just laying in her
choir, just an entire show choir.
There's just skybirds everywhere with vests on.
Stylish pigeons.
Stylish pigeons.
And then it's not pigeons.
Stylish pigeons. You're right, Cohen.
Look at that.
Then it's bald eagles, flamingos.
All right. What do you have, Tyler?
All right. So I this is something that I've been, like, this was my big last Tuesday was my birthday. I turned 34 years old.
And oh boy.
When I turned
34.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, bud.
Oh, I guess
that's not the slice. I don't want to, my slice is not my birthday, but it is noteworthy.
It should be 100%. It should be.
When I turned 33, I set a goal for myself that I did not achieve. And that goal was to try to, it was a little thing. It was just to hydrate more. Is drinking water regularly a part of your, like, got to make sure I get my 8 glasses or whatever?
Literally
in a day?
Every day. Yes. Yeah. I'm sure Cameron's
you've got a water bottle right now. You usually have one.
Yep.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
When I'm
Eddie,
healthy.
Are you a big hydrator?
I am, but I, like, of all the things in my life that just I fail miserably on because I try to do it, water just comes naturally. I just feel like I need a lot of water to not feel like I have a sore throat all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I just drink a ton of water. Yeah. So it's not really an interesting story, but I feel like people want a three-dimensional picture of
I'm only curious because I think it's something that you hear, like your mom always tells you to make sure you're drinking a lot of water. They'd say it's really good for your skin. I don't know. I wanted to try to do this
year. Grabbed his water bottle as soon as you started talking about it, Huck. He was in.
He's so hydrated.
I'm bad at it. I don't do it very. I'm not good at it, but I'm better at it than some people. So there
Tyler. I will interrupt though, because and we're getting a little bit into a stand up bit here, but I'm not really trying to work out material. But I have thought of this before, which is
give us your type five, man. What do you got?
Like my kids have to take a water bottle everywhere. They take a water bottle to school.
Really?
Always backpacks. Always have a water bottle. Yeah, always water bottle.
When I taught school, the kids all had to have their own water bottle.
But what I'm saying is I didn't have my first water bottle until I was at least graduated from college and probably married. In my life, like, didn't you just drink from a water fountain with everybody else? Like, why is everybody so hydrated nowadays? Anyhow, that's my time. Thanks so much. Make sure to tip your waiter.
I don't know about it. I mean, I was homeschooled. Nobody was forcing me to carry a water bottle around the house. We had too many other things going on. We had to learn why evolution was false. There was no time for water.
You had to spray down the tree in the yard. Feed the pigs.
All of our water goes to cleaning our artificial trees once a month out in the front yard. Yeah. So drink something else.
You had to look through the book of ducks that can also, like birds that can also be in the water. It was a very big book because there's a lot of birds.
Can I have that book? Can someone give me that book? Yeah.
If we had time for water at the end of the day, we were lucky. We considered that was a big day.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
And you joked about this, but this is actually the slide. So there was a woman who lived in, who lives still. She's alive, thankfully, who lived in Monaco. She's 31 years old, and she, as it turned out, went to the hospital. She had to go to the ER because she has not had a drink of water since she was 15 years old.
Wow.
She has drank soda exclusively for the last decade and a half.
Cameron, ooh. I hope you hear this passive aggressive slice he's bringing.
This is not directed at anybody. This is not a subtweet. This is just... I was the first one to say I don't hydrate enough. I came out of the gates with that.
She hasn't had a sip of water in 15 years.
She fainted. A blood test showed that she had severely low potassium levels, and a test of her heart's electrical activity showed she had a condition called long QT syndrome, which causes erratic heartbeats.
Long QT syndrome. This was because you emphasized the wrong syllable. It's QT. Cutie syndrome.
English, it makes Dad. Everybody... English.
Hey, cutie.
Yeah, cutie syndrome. I mean, that makes sense to me.
It's so dear.
As a soda drinker.
Yeah, it's so cute.
No, she doesn't... I mean, I think she's got you beat 2 liters a day of soda.
Oh, my gosh. What's her soda of choice? Do you know, Huck?
It doesn't say, and I don't know what the French soda scene...
I'm sorry, but that's... That to me does not sound like a lot. Yesterday I had 4 liters of Diet Coke.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't literally seem like
I bought I went like to the store to and bought 3 2-liters yesterday and I have one left. And then we also went out last night.
What?
So
even Cohen.
Yeah.
Your own son.
Hey, impressionable angel of a young man.
Scandalized by your soda drinking habits.
Scandalized.
Wait, Cameron, you drank 2 liters of Diet Coke. It was sudden. It was a weekend, so you have some space. But
two liters, yeah, 2 2-liters. Well, it's because I have these big, you know, when you go to like a basketball game or anything at an arena, you can buy the souvenir cups at the soda.
Yeah.
Sure. Right? Well, that's what you want.
Well, the Magic every year give me the collection of Magic souvenir cups because I like them and I actually use those in my home. So when I just pour a glass of soda, it's one of those massive giant cups. And so like, I'm like, oh, I'll just have a cup of Diet Coke, but it's actually like a bottle of Diet Coke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
a liter of it.
So did you drink anything else yesterday too? I mean, did you drink any water or any juice?
I had coffee in the morning.
I had coffee and that's all. Yeah, we don't have anything. We're under construction right now.
But I mean, the lady made it, right? So like once every 15 years to the ER with QT syndrome.
Yeah.
I mean, she's alive. Nice trade-off.
Within 2 weeks, she stopped drinking soda. Within 2 weeks, the problem had resolved itself. It's an easy fix.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I need to get healthy, I drink, like you guys, I'll drink a ton of water and no soda. And so, like, it's just,
I know we've seen the cycle a few times in the last 12 months.
But it's not like us guys, because I'm bad at drinking while
changes
I'm not.
With the seasons.
I need an accountability part. I need once a, you know, we
Huck,
meet up once
what do
a
you do
here.
During the day? What do you drink? Soda?
I don't drink soda. I drink a fair amount of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, you just
coffee's
stay hydrated
just
with a dehydrating drink?
Yeah, it's bad. I'm this slice, to be honest, this is a cry for help.
For sure it is.
This is like Ghost of Christmas yet to come. I saw my future and that this woman is going to be me.
So what are you doing it for your 34th year? If you're, I mean, don't shoot for hydration again because you failed. Don't go back to the same well, for lack of a better.
Wait, is that your actual advice? Like if you failed once, too bad.
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed, give up. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I would say.
And also, how did you determine what more was? When you said you were going to hydrate more, how did you determine, how do you know you failed?
Well, it was very obvious in my day-to-day life that I was failing. But I wanted to do 6 glasses of water a day. That was okay. The goal. And if I told you how much I failed, you'd think I was exaggerating for the sake of the show, but it was pretty bad.
You should get those souvenir cups like Cameron has. Let's steal some when we're down there in December and just come back with a magic cup and there just drink 2 of those a day and you're done.
That's true. Can I go to a magic game next time I'm in Orlando and you can hook me up?
I want to go to a magic game with Cameron so bad. I saw that you embarrassed Cohen with your yelling and I was like, I want to be there. I want to see it in real life.
You really did. I was like, Dad, stop. You're embarrassing me.
But also, Annie, you need to get ready because there's, you know, unlimited soda, cookies, hot dogs,
food. Unlimited
snacks.
Hot dogs?
They bring you whatever you want. Anything. We have a waitress and she just brings you chicken nuggets, nachos, cookies, whatever you want. Unlimited. It's crazy.
I got to whisper because I can't see it too well.
For Theater of the Minds, Cohen literally just went and got a soda.
Yes, I had to. You were just talking about it, and I couldn't help myself.
His little body was beginning
to shut me.
His little body was beginning to shut down because of hydration, so he needed to.
All right, what do you have, Annie?
So by way of quick review, a pigeon wore a bedazzled vest, a lady didn't drink enough water. Annie.
In a way that only the Holy Spirit could pull together. Yeah. I've got...
the mix of both.
I'd like to tell you that in the Maldives, do y'all know the Maldives? It's like real bougie islands off of in the Indian Ocean. They have opened the first underwater hotel.
Wow.
What underwater are the chances that all the slices would pull together in such a way?
Hey, you know what you can see at an underwater hotel?
Yeah.
Fish.
Fish and birds.
Fish.
Yeah. Flying fish.
Water birds.
I know. Okay, so let me tell you about this hotel. It is 16 feet underwater, right? So it is way deep down. And as you can imagine, there all the ceiling and the walls are all glass.
Yeah.
It's because it is bougie and luxury, all the linens are super nice, but it's just a bed and a bathroom. And there's some other amenities that like where there's a private gym and a bar and there's an infinity pool.
Wow.
Which is just a butler's quarters. Thank you very much. And an ocean facing bathtub.
Why does there need to be a pool? You can just like go outside and you're in the ocean.
Right.
You can't go out though, Cohen. You can't go out that way because it's all closed off.
How do you get to it?
Look. Yeah. How do you get to it? It's an elevator that goes down. You check in on the land. I'm reading. I'm continuing to read.
The dream. This was like this. When I was a kid, it was like, we're going to have underwater cities and we're going to have space exploration be normal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just assumed that there would be these. There was a ride at Disney called the Living Seas, and it was like a underwater exploration base like this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't this happening?
Okay, do y'all want to guess how much one night is?
$1,000.
One night you get the top floor. Here's the other way you get, there's an elevator thing, but the top floor of your villa is above the water and has a relaxation deck. So you can go up to the top floor. You're above water. And then it goes all the way down to 16 feet underwater.
I'm sure this would be an unforgettable experience, but does anybody else feel like this thing solely exists to inspire a Dwayne Johnson movie in about 5 years
of the person trapped?
A crack happens. Yeah.
He's at the very bottom. He has to fight his way that it's being invaded by, I don't know, space pirates or something like that. And he has to get
okay.
Up.
Per night. Make your guesses, gents.
Okay. One night.
One night.
$1,000.
$500.
$500?
$25,000?
I would say 5,000 clams.
1,500.
Cohen
Strang, ladies and gentlemen, is the closest with $50,000 a night.
What?
Wow.
$50,000.
And you have to, it is a four-night minimum. So it is a minimum of a $200,000 package. But just to make you feel a little bit better about it, it does include a personal chef and the use of a private boat.
What?
Wait a minute. How can you use a boat underwater?
Right, because the very top floor is above water.
Oh,
so you
right.
get to use, you can go up and go lay out and get a tan and go out on the boat. And then you sleep and eat and live and take a bath down.
You just
underwater.
Take a plane ride and land on some like deserted island with one person.
Yeah.
Just like, here, now you can check in. Where am I going?
Yeah.
Yes.
5 seconds later, you're underwater.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, underwater. I like it.
Okay.
How far out from the shore are we? Like, are you right?
You guys are asking me questions like I'm a travel agent.
I'm just wondering, are there...
We have follow-up questions. Who owns...
Is it floating?
Who owns the bedazzled vest pigeon?
We have
questions. You bring information, we have follow-ups.
This is a Hilton. I got you, Cameron. This is a Hilton property. So, in fact, if you book it, you are automatically Hilton Diamond status just for booking. So the owner is Hilton. How far out is it from the land? It does not say. But you know, the Maldives also have those floating villas that are out. Like, kind of the thing about the Maldives is you're not really on ground, really.
Do you think they have Wi-Fi under there?
Oh.
Thanks, Cohen.
Do they have Wi-Fi under there? I would assume so. I'm not paying $200,000 and not being able to check my Instagram. You
probably
know what I'm saying?
Gives new meaning to surf the net.
Oh, right. You are setting yourself up.
Y'all need to Google it. You guys and listeners need to Google it because the pictures are awesome. I mean, it looks like it costs $50,000 a night for sure. Well, does anything look like it costs $50,000 a night? I can't be sure of that. But okay, so it looks like I'm looking at a picture to answer your question about how far out it is. It looks like it's positioned between two private islands joined by a footbridge.
So I think longtime listeners know, I think I've discussed before on here that I have a phobia of squid.
The thought
that I might look out my window in the morning and see a squid,
I forgot about your phobia of squid.
Just squid, or is it octopus and jellyfish?
Any sort of tentacled situation, I can't do it.
That makes sense.
Like if you see it, like you can't look at one, or like
I can't look at a picture of one.
Really?
If there's a movie situation, I don't like scrolling through articles about the ocean on the off chance that they have a picture of a squid somewhere.
Oh, wow.
I'm just going to start be scrolling in when we'll pop up.
Where did this come from? Eddie, I need your counselor brain to step in here and talk about why he has
not
a fear
my
of squid.
Experience, because Nebraska doesn't have a lot of squid in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that 20,000 Leagues or whatever as a kid?
I did 20,000 Leagues, I think, is a culprit. It's a possibility.
That old
Disney movie really scared me when I was a kid, and now I just can't do it at all. So this idea of being in a place where I'm looking out into the, because right now it's very easy to avoid squid in my life.
Right.
But in a hotel, it'd be much more difficult. I couldn't relax there. Even if, you know, when my publishing career really, when the online digital writing career makes me into a multimillionaire,
mm-hmm.
and the option of spending $200,000 to go stay here was an option, I don't think I would do it.
None of you would stay there?
I would totally, 100%. 100%.
I would 100% stay there.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have to pay for it.
Pretty much anything, Chandler, is your answer is, yeah, I'll do it as long as I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, if it costs $50,000.
Well, this especially, that's a valid qualifier here.
Yeah.
Sure. I will also say, you know that it was not the first underwater hotel.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, I feel like I've heard of underwater hotels
before.
No,
it said, hold on.
Yeah, Key Largo, Florida. The whatever Jules something, I've seen it before. It's like
really?
There's definitely
world's
an underwater hotel.
First underwater hotel residence opens in Maldives, and this is a November 2018 article.
Well, maybe they're defining it differently, because the one in Key Largo, people have to scuba dive to their room.
Oh yeah, it says different.
Oh, you know what? This may be because it's a hotel residence, because in the second paragraph, it says more than just a room or a suite. This is the Maldives, after all. So luxury is the name of the game. The two-story villa is set more than 16 feet below the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm. This is a villa. That's the difference. Not a hotel room. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So we got bedazzled pigeons.
I mean, it is amazing how those all pulled together. Let's just call that what it is.
It really is.
Yeah. Somebody going blessing. To the hospital without drinking water.
Yep. Somebody
so they're all water. There's a water string
and
here.
Now a villa underwater. Luxury villa. So yeah. There you go. We got the whole spectrum here. All right. Well, stay tuned. Up next, Yvonne Orji joins us. You're listening to Tyler, the Creator. The song is Lights On, featuring Ryan Beatty and Santa Gold. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Stevie Wonder with What Christmas Means to Me. One interview we've been chasing for a long time at Relevant is actor Yvonne Orji, who's had a starring role in the HBO comedy Insecure. Orji's character is one of the show's funnier personalities, but it's a pretty explicit part, especially season one, which is surprising considering the actor's open faith in Jesus. She's even talked openly about how she's going to remain a virgin until marriage. We spoke with Yvonne about how she approaches the role as a Christian and how she lives as a woman of faith in Hollywood. Here's part of our conversation with Yvonne Orji. Sorry in advance for the audio quality.
Your character, Molly, she's such a compelling person. It, you know, is so, I mean, the whole cast is incredible. But, you know, I think since the beginning, you know, Molly has been this scene stealer where a lot of fans gravitate to. What is it about her that you feel like draws so many fans in?
You know, I think Molly offers people an opportunity to kind of like put the mirror to their faces that a lot of our characters do. Because, you know, the reality is like she's fun in a lot of ways. She's also a beautiful mess in a lot of other ways. And I think people recognize, like, I've either done that, I've been that, I'm still that. And, you know, it's always more fun to watch the disaster train happen to someone else. Yeah. And maybe you don't want to admit that it might be happening to you too.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, she allows people to hold a mirror up to themselves without, like, calling them out on their own stuff.
How similar are you to the character of Molly? Like, what do you personally identify with when it comes to playing her?
I mean, I think there's bits and pieces of her and all of this. I think Molly's a hopeful romantic, which I am. I think Molly is, you know, really dedicated to her work and wants to advance and wants to, you know, put in her work and put in her time and get what she deserves out of it, which I do. And so there are so many aspects of her life that I can relate to.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of the great things about the show, because especially with millennial audiences even the title is so fitting. You know, a lot of them are in these kind of insecure parts of their life, trying to figure out what's the next thing relationally and career wise. It's cool to have a show that makes it OK to kind of feel insecure in that position in life.
And that's the thing. I think also some people didn't know what to call it. In terms of, like, what is this thing that I feel? And, you know, it's not sexy to say I'm a little insecure in this. But when we show that, like, insecure just means a couple different things. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, maybe you're insecure in this, but this is why you're reacting this way to that. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that's what that was.
Yeah.
And if I fix it, I don't have to be insecure anymore. But at least I can identify what that feeling is now.
It's so interesting because, you know, the show, obviously, that has some, you know, edgier content, but it's also, you know, the characters really deal with the consequences of their decisions in really interesting ways. And I think ways that, you know, are sometimes funny, sometimes cautionary, and sometimes, they present all these different kind of outcomes that I feel like in the arc of the story it is really positive, you know, for maybe people that, you know, you kind of grew up with or went to church with. What's their reaction to Insecure and kind of the different challenges and opportunities that the characters have in the show?
I mean, I know some people who I went to church with, you know, back in Maryland, who say they, you know, they can't watch the show for a myriad of reasons. It's the language and it's the content. You know, I respect that. But then I know a lot of people who are like, thank you, because the show helped me deal with something that I was going through. And, like, I see where this ends, and it's not favorable. So, like, I guess I know what I got to do now. So, you know, it's all different strokes for different folks, to be honest. And the reason that's life. Life gives us opportunities and choices with what we watch, what we listen to, what we engage in, and what we don't engage in. It's like that's literally the foundation of life is based on choices.
That was Yvonne Orji, if you could understand her. You should read the profile on her, which is totally legible, in the current issue of Relevant. It's out now. You're listening to Hillsong Worship. The song is Seasons. I know Seasons is also just one of their normal worship songs, but if you listen to it, it's on the Christmas album. It's actually a Christmas song. Well, as you know, for the last few months, we have been helping you guys solve your life conundrums. Our very own Jesse Carey has been your life coach, and it's gone really well, I think. Oh, we've been doing the Ask Jesse segment.
Really well, my bean.
Yeah, it has certainly been on the show, we can say that.
last week and
the
this week,
have been funny.
In Jesse's absence, we've broadened it to Eddie and Andy. Annie answering your life questions. You guys have been hitting us up, and it's time for Ask Andy.
This segment has not gone well. So my proposal is that we do this time, and then we just leave it to Jesse, because I thought Annie and I would be better at it.
Right.
Turns out
we're not
good.
But we'll give you one last shot. So this will be the second and finale edition of Ask Andy.
Yeah.
And then next week, I think we should bring back Listener of the Week. I've missed talking
about people. I have missed our friends. Let's do that. Yeah.
That's
really
my favorite
fun
segment.
I kind of miss
Huck,
it.
You just jump in here when you can, because I feel like you're a sensible person.
All right.
Oh, I'm just like to sit at y'all's feet for this one.
Let's do it. Let's hurt some feelings.
Sarah Rasmussen, she asks us, she says, I've started attempting online dating as a 23-year-old female. This is probably for you, Annie. Advice to take on Match.com? I accidentally bought the 1-year subscription.
How much does it cost for a year?
But she's in regardless.
$50,000.
Yeah, well, that's
one night in the Maldives.
The underwater premium Match.com experience.
Okay, Eddie, I see your wheels spinning. I'm going to lead with something kind of rational, which is...
Yeah, I'd like you to lead, Annie, because I feel like this person is asking for actual wisdom here, and all I can think of is things that are terrible. So you Annie.
I'll do a real short, sensible thing, and then y'all can ruin our life after me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a year, I hope you aren't on it for a year, but there is a good... getting your numbers up and meeting a lot of people is good, so don't spend a lot of time trying to know somebody online. Do enough that you know it's safe and that you think it's fun, and then move it forward and go meet him. Figure out a way to meet him. Don't stay online for 4 months talking to 8 guys. You should be going on dates. Meet him, get to know him, get it offline as quick as you can.
Oh, no, that's really good advice. Mine was the opposite, which was see if you, I think since you've got a year in this, you want to be value conscious. I would cultivate as many, I don't know what the language is. I would cultivate as many leads as you can, so that when you end your subscription at day 365, you've got 30, 45, 50 in the tank. Right. Like you're ready to go and make the most of it. Because my fear is you've already prepaid for the year. Something starts brewing next week and you realize, I've got this person. Like I'm starting to care about this person. We're going to be exclusive. You've just wasted a huge amount of money. So I would say keep everybody on the hook.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredible advice.
You've already paid. Yep. Tony Miles asks, I'm the only non-coffee drinker on a team who loves lattes a lot. I don't think about random coffee shops in the day or on trips as naturally as they do. I believe I'm getting a mental stink eye about it.
No.
Any advice? This is Tony Miles.
Well, one, Tony, you can look at your coworkers and say, hey, you're not really coffee drinkers either because you're just drinking lattes all the time. If they were ordering an Americano, an espresso shot, or even just a regular tall black, like that's somebody that can be stinky about coffee, but they are basically just ordering chocolate milk. So I would definitely, definitely quit your job. Oh, Annie, what do you? No, I would get into tea. You know why? Because I think tea people are very cool. Like everybody drinks coffee, but if somebody like really knows about tea and is like dipping the little leaves and pouring over
NAF.
For,
that's
I mean,
NAF.
That's cool. All the rest of us are just killing ourselves with coffee.
It's a power move.
Oh, it's a power move.
Tea's and a power move. I know it.
Yeah. I would take them to the closest tea place where they, like you, have to order some junky coffee that they don't really want to serve, but they have to. And then I would just order the coolest tea setup and I would stare at them. The final move is stare at them without breaking eye contact, without blinking as you drink your tea. Annie?
I am the fancy tea person. I am the non-coffee drinker in every group. And so I agree with you fully. Quit your job. You probably just need a whole new life. You need a new friend circle.
Yeah.
You need a new life. You need to move somewhere where people don't care about coffee. And that is nowhere.
Yeah.
Don't you think you could just make it really insufferable by taking one sip of coffee somewhere you go with just your team and being like, eh, it's fine. And that's it. That's all you want to do.
And then the Debbie Downer character where you just bring facts and stats about coffee.
Nobody wants to go drink coffee with you anymore anyway. You've solved your own problem. You've made yourself uninvitable to the coffee.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think also at work, you should get a cool tea setup.
Yeah.
So like the water boiler thing and the fancy glass.
It's called a kettle. If anybody Googles it, that's called a kettle.
Water boiler thing would have gotten you there as well.
But you know, if you're real bougie, Eddie, what you need is like an English tea set on one side of your, like your desk is over here and over there is some sort of counter where everybody else has like whiskey or coffee. And you've got an English tea set and a Chinese tea set, right? Like you've got the real deal.
I didn't know
deal.
There was a difference.
If there is whiskey at your workplace, do not quit your job because you have somehow found a great job.
Isn't that what they do on all the fancy television shows like Suits?
Don Draper.
Yeah. Don't they always have like a decanter?
Well, you're the one bringing up different regional tea sets. I didn't even know that was like an option to have.
I'm thinking
today's a Chinese type tea day.
It's so different.
This is why tea people are so cool because it sounds so cultured.
Right. It's like the pour over.
All right. Caitlin asks, you guys are taking a long time to answer these questions, by the way.
Caitlin asks,
I'm a missionary that needs to make a lot of money in a short amount of time. What's the best way to do that?
Oh, I want it.
Oh gosh.
Get a job.
I would continue emailing into random podcasts asking for advice to use your time doing that.
Jordan Scott says, my two-year-old watches the same cartoon every morning. What tactics do I use to wean him off of this?
Cameron, you take this one.
Yeah,
you've got a
really.
Kid who does this, wants to play Fortnite all the time.
I mean, you just put your two-year-old on cartoon restriction. I mean, that's it. It's like, it's not an option. You're on pound puppy restriction. I mean, that's it. You can't do it.
Pound puppies. I haven't thought about them in so long.
Man. I'll tell you, though, I have both of my kids get very stuck on shows.
They do. And every kid does that.
And I get that. It's like familiar and they like it. But I mean, Sophia the First is the only song I hear in this house.
Yeah.
But the other day, I tried a new tactic and I put on a Mr. Rogers in the background. And they were both just standing in the room, just staring at it. And I walk out and Eve looks at me and goes, who is this man? I was like, it's Mr. Rogers. He's very, very sweet. And this is his show. And she's just like, I like this man. They both just got into it. So I would say sneakily introduce a new show.
That's really sweet and very Mr. Rogers-y.
All right. Grace Jenkins says, my husband and I recently got married and we're looking for a new hobby to have together. Nothing is off the table, including heist pranks or anything. Any ideas? We will try whatever you suggest and send updates.
God almighty with that question.
You both just turned beet red.
Yeah, we don't want updates about it.
I would say the best. I would say don't have hobbies together. Just find your own thing to do. What? Isn't that, is that terrible advice?
I've got my own
hobbies. Bran has her own hobbies. You've already got enough time.
Don't
together.
You do things together though? You go to Gator games together. Yeah, you have shared interests.
Great. Do all that stuff they're already doing. But I think if you're going to invest in a whole new thing, get your own hobby. Just find some time to miss each other.
Because the shared hobby are the people who end up wearing the same clothes every day. Like the twin, yes. They twin every day.
But yeah, I think you just stumbled onto something important, Eddie. The whole thing of like, you need to miss each other. Like go do your own thing so you can look forward to coming back together.
That's The mistake is that we need to spend 7 nights a week. It's just like, no, go out with your friends. Go do
stuff.
Wait,
was it us talking about this? Forgive me that, you know, we spend lots of hours together every week. But us talking about that, a comedian said the reason his parents stayed together. Was it us talking about this?
No.
The reason his parents stayed together, he asked his dad, they've been married like 50 years or something. He said, how have y'all lasted this long? He said, because when I go to work, I'm gone for 8 hours and I don't talk to your mother all day. And then I come home and we're together. Like we have, like we aren't talking 24/7. And so we don't get sick of each other because we miss each other because I'm at work all day. Yeah. It would like, this was, you know, when he was at work in like the 70s and 80s when you didn't have phones all the time. Right. But I thought that was so interesting that, that there was something about missing each other and being apart that made them actually work better.
But I do see that like in young couples though, there is always this like he's really into this. And then she, you could tell like she's trying real hard to get into that thing, but it's just not a natural fit or vice versa. And I'm always like, you know what? You don't have to do that. Just have your own thing. You can just be two different people that enjoy meeting up in the afternoon and hanging out and talking about the different things you did.
It's so much better than being that guy who tries to get his new wife into like the Smiths or something like that. And you're like, no, it's going to change your life. Seriously. Listen to it. Did you listen to it? And she's like, I don't like it.
I mean, there should be some shared.
I like Ariana Grande. Leave me alone. Yeah.
But isn't this true for y'all's relationships and everyone I've dated? Like the reason you like each other is you have shared
everyone you've dated. How many people have you dated?
Enough to know that one of the things I like about them is our shared experiences and the things we both like to do.
Right. So we like bring each other along. I don't know. Yeah. We bring each other along. We do a lot of stuff. Bree and I do a lot of stuff like together and hanging out and doing fun things. But then it's also really just as valuable to have the alone time. So I would say if you don't have any of those like shared experiences, then yeah, maybe find a hobby. And I would suggest finding your local PT Cruiser club, signing up. Each one of you get a PT Cruiser and join in. Right?
Oh, go, I love it. That's a real thing riding, in your head.
Yeah. Go riding down to Denny's on a Saturday morning with a bunch of other people that have PT Cruisers.
Together. But if you both get a PT Cruiser, you're not spending time together.
You get one PT Cruiser. And you like decorate it. And so there's like stenciling on her window that says like Doris and stenciling on his that says like, you know, Marvin.
Mm-hmm. I like it. All right.
Anyway. Marvin and Doris?
Marvin and Doris. All right.
Great PT Cruiser.
This is great advice. I think Ask Andy has gone flawlessly. Next week, we're going
to. I feel bad about that missionary comment. You don't have to get a job, you're doing a job. Just raise some more support. I feel bad about that. I feel some guilt about that.
I don't. Just get don't a job, I think, right? I don't think you can make a lot of money really fast or everybody would just be doing it, right?
Right.
I mean, I guess invest in the stock market. Some multi-level marketing thing. I don't know. Just get it done.
Next week, we're going to bring back Listener of the Week for the holiday season.
Wait.
I'm excited about that.
Holiday version of Listener of the Week, everybody. We're only calling people who dress up as Santa. Prepare
if
yourselves.
If you want to be our Listener of the Week, hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast and tell us three interesting things about yourself. And we will pick one of you to be on the show with us. Next.
And just as a caveat to that, make sure they're interesting to us because really it's about selling yourself.
Can we just say that one of them has to be holiday related?
That would be ideal.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah.
It would help.
And remember your audience. This is true for every writer. Remember your audience. It's not me. It's not the normal one. It's the others.
Hey, many thanks
Chandler. Right.
Many thanks to Yvonne Orji for joining us. You can follow her on Twitter at Yvonne Orji, O-R-J-I. If you want to watch Insecure, the second season just wrapped. You can watch it on HBO On Demand. And check out our conversation with her in the new issue of Relevant. Hey, it's holiday season. It's Christmas season. And there are sales galore going on at Relevant. Right now, you can give a gift subscription as a Christmas present if you want to. If you go to relevantmagazine.com/give, there's a great deal there. Also, at the Relevant store, there's free shipping and special discounts all season long. We are stocking the podcast section, the fan shop, with new merchandise. And there's also other Relevant brand stuff as well. And obviously all of our magazines and everything available at Relevant Store. You can get there at store.relevantmagazine.com. Check it out.
I thought the perfect three things that I like.
What?
I like turtles, I like dogs, and I like bread.
Oh, wow.
No, this is a good example. Oh, if a listener came in and submitted that, you'd be on the show.
That's a listener of the week.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great turtles. Content. What?
Turtles, dogs, and bread.
Dogs and bread.
Congratulations, very listener reliable. Of the week. Cohen, that is interesting.
I want the long read. I want to unpack each of those.
I'm thrilled about that. I'm sad I didn't make top three because we've become really good friends, but I'll take that top three list because that's brilliant.
That's really funny, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Turtles, dogs, and bread. In that order, Cohen, turtles are your favorite and then dogs and then bread?
No, that isn't the order. Dogs first, in the bread order? Second, and turtles third.
We have a lot of turtles around the lake.
I like turtles.
Yeah, you like turtles.
I said that because that's a meme.
It is?
Yes.
I like turtles as a meme?
I like turtles.
So, okay, do y'all know this? The memes that I know are like on Instagram. They're like photos or GIFs, and they have like the big white words on them.
Right.
Yeah. Or the Twitter words or whatever.
I think a meme is anything that goes viral.
Okay, but yeah, in third grade,
yeah,
memes are little like video clips.
Yeah.
It's all videos.
They all watch YouTube.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Or wow. Musically or whatever.
So they reenact memes, he and his friend, where I'm like, oh, I just scroll and I see it and I smile, or maybe I hit retweet.
Yeah.
He and his friends in the playground are acting out memes.
That makes sense.
Example.
The pivot to video.
Yeah.
Took a little longer than we thought, but it's coming.
Top three memes.
Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman's top meme. What is it?
It's like this kid singing some random like rap, and then he says Mr. Postman, and then he has the postman sitting next to him.
See,
Mr. Postman.
Third grade. Yeah, third grade.
Yeah. Right there. Listen, the only person connecting right now with Cohen is Chandler.
It's Chandler. Yeah. He's like, hey, if you guys start talking Pokemon, we're gonna lose the show. Okay.
Cohen gives me shade about still playing Pokemon.
Yeah, my third grader. Throw shade to his uncle about the fact that the uncle still plays Pokemon.
I told
Pokemon.
My friends and they both said he still plays that.
Yeah, yeah. Third graders are making fun of Chandler.
They're like confused.
Chandler's getting dunked on by third graders over Pokemon.
I can take it.
Oh, that's all right, Chandler. You be you, buddy. You be you. That's what I love about you.
That's intimidating.
Oh, we're still going.
Oh yeah.
Top two meme. Okay.
Whoa.
Oh, there it is. Okay. What's your number one meme?
Sounds like a winner.
Baby shark. Do, baby shark. Baby shark.
Baby shark. Yeah, there baby it is. Shark. All right. Top three memes.
And with that, I just became 100 years old.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. On that note, we will wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Cohen Strang.
I'm Chandler Strang.
Look at that. That's a lot of Strangs.
I'm Tyler Huckabee.
I'm Annie F. Downs.
I'm Eddie Koffeltz.
We'll see you on Friday.
Seems I love you more. The little cards you'll give me will touch my heart.
Thank you for listening to the Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe. Kiss you once and then some more, and wish you a Merry Christmas, baby. Kiss you now, oh, and such happiness in the coming year. Oh, baby, let's deck the halls with holly. Sing sweet silent night. Fill a tree with angel hair. Pretty, pretty night. Relevant Podcast Network.